we're reading from Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 16, Verse Number 12. Agnayo Titayo Britya.
Agnayo Titayo Britya.
Vikshavoye Chalipsava.
Vikshavoye Chalipsava.
Sarvam Bhagavato
Brahman. Sarvam Bhagavato
Brahman. Anudhyanam Narishati.
Anudhyanam Narishati.
Okay. Translation. O beloved husband, the fires, guests, servants, and beggars are all being properly cared for by me. Because I always think of you, there is no possibility that any of the religious principles will be neglected. Text number 13. Kunome Bhagavan Kamo Nasam Padita Manasaha Yasya Bhavan Prajadyaksho Evam Dharman Prabhasate. O my Lord, since you are Prajapati and are personally my instructor in the principle of religion, where is the possibility that all my desires will not be fulfilled? Text number 14. Tavaiva maricha manashareer hajja praja himasadvarajas tamojusa samobhavastasvasuradishu prabho tatapi bhaktam bhajate mahesaya. O son of Marichi, because you are a great personality, you are equal toward all the demons and demigods who are born either from your body or from your mind and who possess one or another of the three qualities, sattvaguna, rajaguna or tamaguna. But although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, is equal toward all living entities, he is especially favorable to the devotees. Purport by His Divine Grace, I see what He done to Swami Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita, verse 9:29, the Lord says, Samoham Sarva Bhutishu, Named Veshostina Priya, Yabhajanti Tumam Bhaktya, Mayichete Tu Japyaham. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is equal toward everyone, He is especially inclined toward those who engage in His devotional service. The Lord say, Kuntiya Pratinanihi, Name Bhakta Pranashati. My dear son of Kunti, please declare that my devotee will never be vanquished. Elsewhere, Krishna also said, Yayatamam Papajantitam Stuteva Bhajamyaha, Mamavar Manuvartante, Manusya Partha Sarvasha. Bhagavad Gita 4:11. Actually, everyone is trying to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead in various ways. But according to the method of approach, the Supreme Lord endows them with different benedictions. Thus, Aditi appealed to her husband by saying that since even the Supreme Controller favors his devotees, and since Indra, Kashyapa's devoted son, was in difficulty, Kashyapa should bestow his favor upon Indra. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Agyanam Janam Sharagaya Chakshurun militam yenatas me sigurave namo. Shri Chaitanya manovistam stapitam yenabhutale swayam rupa kadamayam datati svapadam tikam. Namo mahavadanyaya Krishna prema pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya namne goradvishe namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Vanshakad Vatarubhyascha, Kripasindubhyai Vaksho, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah, Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangom, Rangayati Girim Yatkipam Tamaham Vandi Shiguru Dina Dharanam. So, Krishna is sending me so many things to say. Well, I would like to speak about the first verse, which is very relevant to today's special celebration. O beloved husbands, the fire's guests, servants and beggar are all being properly cared for by me. Then Aditi, this is Aditi, yeah? Aditi says, because I always think of you, there is no possibility that any of the religious principle will be neglected. Anudhyanan narishati. Sarvam bhagavato brahman. O brahmana. So again we can see the beauty of the dialogue between husband and wife, because they are not on the bodily platform of life. Even though Prabhupada sometimes criticized a little bit Kashyapa Muni in the story of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. But we have to understand that actually Kashyapa and Aditi, they are expansion of Nanda and Yashoda, because they are the mother and father of Lord Vamanadeva. So nobody can have Krishna as his son except Nanda and Yashoda. So Vasudeva and Devaki, they are expansion of Nanda and Yashoda. Dasharata and Kaushalya are expansion of Nanda and Yashoda. Different expansion. And Kashyapa and Aditi, they are some partial expansion only, because this is in the material world, playing the role of demigods. So they are on the spiritual platform, vision. We can see how they relate with each other. They consider each other as very respected personalities. This is the beauty of Vaishnav culture. Vaishnav never minimize anybody, because the characteristic of a Vaishnava is that he sees everybody higher than him. So Kashyapa Muni also seeing his wife higher than him, and she is seeing her husband higher than him. So she is calling him Bhagavat. Bhagavat means he is the personification of Srimad Bhagavatam. Mm. There is the book Bhagavat and the devotee Bhagavat. Of course, Kashyapa Muni is a very great sage. And she is calling him Brahmana. O Brahmana. That's why, you know, in India, wife is calling the husband Prabhu. Prabhu. Only Prabhu. I have seen. They never call their husband by their name. They will call him Prabhu. So this is very deep respect. Understanding this is spiritual soul, which is eternal servant of Krishna. Then she says something very interesting. Anudhyana narishati. Because I am always thinking of you, nothing can be incomplete. So this is the power of remembering the Vaishnavas. When we remember the Vaishnavas, everything we do is perfect. Is it true? Is it true? When we remember Guru, everything we do is perfect. Because actually the perfection of life is to never forget Krishna. All the rules and the regulations of the Vedas, all the, how to say, all the intention of the Vedas have only one goal. To remember Krishna. And all the rules are subordinate to that rule, to remember Krishna. And all the forbidden things are subordinate to one thing, never forget Krishna. So this is the main rule. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. So we have to learn how to always think of Krishna. Man manav, bhava man bhava. Always think. Krishna is saying to Arjuna. This is the verse which is at the core of the Bhagavad Gita. So Vijana Chakravarti Thakur has a very beautiful poet. He says that when someone wants to put a treasure somewhere, he put that treasure inside a treasure chest, you know? Inside of a box. And he will put it in the middle of the box. So these verses Krishna put in the middle of the Bhagavad Gita. And everything before and everything after, they are actually the box. You open and the jewel is there. Man mana bhava, man pantu. Mahim evaishati satante, stitoryu na priyosime. If you think always of me, I promise you, you will come to me. This is the power of. You see, here she used the verse, the verb, anudhyanam. Dhyana means meditation or deep absorption. Thinking is not a superficial thing. By thinking, first is smaranam. Smaranam means remembering. Then it becomes. I don't remember the Sanskrit words, but then it becomes concentration, then absorption, then meditation, then complete samadhi. This is different level of remembrance. There is the superficial remembrance, but after we can dive into the remembrance, go deeper into the remembrance. And the deeper you go into the remembrance, the more tangible the what you are remembering becomes. So dhyana is a meditation, is a good stage of. And she said, I am always thinking about you. So therefore whatever I am doing cannot be incomplete. Because of all the method of worship, the greatest is the worship of Lord Vishnu. Is the topmost. This verse was spoken by Lord Shiva to his wife. But when Parvati Devi heard that, she became sad. Because she is always worshipping Shiva. So she was thinking, oh my God, I am wrong. But then Lord Shiva said, but higher than worship of Lord Vishnu is to worship what is connected to Lord Vishnu. And he used that word. What is this? Tadiya, which is connected to Vishnu or to Krishna. To worship what is connected to Krishna is considered even higher than worshipping Krishna. And the foremost form of Tadiya, Krishna Tadiya, are his devotees. So actually, worshipping the devotee of Krishna is higher than worshipping Krishna. This is the highest worship of Krishna, to think of his devotees. Krishna said, Mat Bhaktya Pujyapya Adhika, 11th Skanda. First, one should worship my devotee. This is even more important than worshipping me. Krishna is more pleased. So today is the day of Guru Purnima, full moon, very auspicious day. Today in Vrindavan is a huge festival. All the streets are closed, no car enter into the city because thousands and thousands and thousands of pilgrims will come from all over India to be in Vrindavan today. and all temples are very beautifully decorated. Because this is the day of Vyasa Puja, we are worshipping Vyasa there. This original spiritual master, and simultaneously we are worshipping the principle of Guru, or Sri Guru. We are worshipping the entire principle of Guru Tattva, who is the mercy incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So we are searching after the mercy of Krishna, no, isn't it? You know, the dynamic principle in spiritual life is the mercy. Like, in this light, the dynamic principle is the electricity. If there is no electricity, then this entire device will not work. TV is the same thing, no? There must be the electricity. In the same way, in spiritual life, the dynamic principle is the mercy. If there is no mercy, then everything is useless. It's not working. So we need to collect the mercy of Krishna. And where is the mercy of Krishna? The mercy of Krishna is in the form of his devotee. No? Devotee of Krishna is called Sri Krishna Kripa Sri Murti, the embodiment of the mercy of Krishna. If the mercy, actually the mercy of Krishna has a shape, and that shape is the form of Guru. Mercy of Krishna comes to us in the form of a person, because everything is personal in the spiritual dimension. So out of his compassion, Krishna gives all of his mercy to his devotee, and he asks to his devotee, please go and distribute what I have given to you. This is his way of doing. So he becomes embodiment of mercy. No? Because what you carry in your heart, you become embodiment of that thing. You understand? If you carry Krishna in your heart, then you become embodiment of Krishna. And Mahaprabhu said to Satan, so this is the principle of Guru Tattva. Guru is someone, Guru means light. A Guru means also heavy. Very heavy. Why Guru is heavy? Because in his heart is carrying Krishna. So you cannot move him. Guru is that person, you will never be able to change his understanding. Because he is carrying Krishna in his heart. So you cannot cheat him, or you know, you cannot move him, he's too much heavy. Because he's carrying Krishna in his heart. He's completely steady on the reality. Svantasenagabhritya. Inside his heart. And because he is carrying Krishna inside his heart, Srila Prabhupada explained, then he becomes like a moving Vishnu deity. Or moving Krishna deity. Sri Krishna Kripa Sri Murti. Embodiment of Krishna's mercy. So, today on the day of Guru Purnim, we are offering our humble obeisances to Vyasadeva for what he has given us. Mahaprabhu did that Guru Purnim festival along with Nityananda. This is explained in Chaitanya Bhagavat in a very beautiful way. So, you heard that description? Very beautiful pastime. Yeah. And we are also worshipping Vyasadeva, the entire Guru Parampara as embodiment of the same principle, means Sri Guru. Sri Guru means the Lord Nityananda. He is the Lord Nityananda. But he is expanding himself in the form of many gurus, giving them the duty to carry his mercy to the conditioned soul, so they become the embodiment of his mercy. So this is very special. This is why you have to worship the Vaishnavas with great respect. Savadana mati. Savadana vandomui is very... vandomui, sorry. I'm speaking French. Vandomui means... I offer my prayers or obeisances. Savadana means with great care. With great... it's very carefully I'm offering my obeisances to Vaishnava and to Sri Guru, because I know what they are representing. It's not ordinary thing. According to how we approach Guru, that much we can realize who he is. It will depend on our attitude. Tadvidi pranipatena. Pranipatena means we have to approach with a full mood of surrender. So according to our behavior, to how we approach the person, the real nature of this person will be revealed to us. And they can reveal us many, many things because they are tattva-darshina. They are seeing the truth. So they know the truth. And they can tell us many, many, many things. The Vaishnavas, they can tell us many, many, many things. But it's difficult to make them speak the real things. Generally, they speak in a simple way. But they know a lot of secrets that they will share only if there is some...
Sincerity.
Sincerity is a very special... how to say... desire in the heart of someone. And Lord Chaitanya said this personally to Satan Goswami when he arrived in Varanasi, you know, when he told Chandrasekhara Acharya to come to go and see if there was not Vaishnav in front of his door. Then Satan Goswami came, Mahaprabhu embraced him, then Mahaprabhu started to clean the body of Sanatana because he has been traveling in the forest of Jarikanda so many months. His body was dusty. And Mahaprabhu started to clean the body of Sanatana. So today is disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami. We have to understand how dear to Mahaprabhu Sanatana Goswami was. Sanatana Goswami is one of our very wonderful acharyas. He is an embodiment of love. He was considered the guru of Raj. Everybody liked him in Vrindavan. All the farmers, all the children, everybody loved Sanatana Goswami because he was embodiment of love. And he was so dear to Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu started to clean his body. Sanatana Goswami said, "Oh my Prabhu, please don't touch me. I'm feeling very bad when you're doing this." Can you imagine Krishna starting to clean your body with his divine hand, reversing the role? Normally we are cleaning the body of the deity with, you know, every day. Then Krishna likes to do the same thing. Cleaning the body of his devotee, dressing his devotee.
Oh,
can you imagine? He was feeling very awkward. He said, "Please." But at the same time, he cannot, you know, this is also Mahaprabhu in front. So he said, "Please, Prabhu, don't do this. Please don't do this." And you know what Mahaprabhu replied? Mahaprabhu replied, Bhavat Dila Bhagavatas. Uh, the saints of your caliber, they are places of pilgrimage, personified. Wherever you go, you change that place in a pilgrimage place. Because in your heart, you're always carrying the Supreme Lord. So please let me continue. By touching your body, Mahaprabhu said to Sanatana Goswami, I am reaching the perfection of the sense of touch. By seeing your form, my eyes attain the perfection of the sense of sight. So please let me. This is the exchange. How Sanatana Goswami was dear to Mahaprabhu. So dear that Sanatana Goswami is considered to be the second body of Lord Chaitanya. Because, same thing, Anudena Nadishati, he was constantly meditating on Mahaprabhu. So he becomes embodiment of Mahaprabhu's love and compassion. By thinking about someone, you develop the qualities of that person. It can go to such a degree that you can develop really fully the qualities of that person. By absorption. Srila Prabhupada was always absorbed in his own spiritual master. No? Always. Every time he would say, I have no credit for anything, the whole credit is for my Gurudev. I'm only trying to follow the instruction he has given me. If there is some glory with me, that's it. Nothing else. That by the power of his instruction, everything is being done. The only glory I have is that I'm just trying to follow his instruction. So, we have to learn how to welcome the Vaishnavas in our heart and to think about the Vaishnava. This is a very powerful spiritual practice. Thinking and meditating on the Vaishnava. We will progress very fast if we accept, if we embrace this path. This is called the topmost path, Uttamagati. Siguru Charanerati, Aise Uttamagati. If we can develop attachment and become absorbed in thinking of the Vaishnava, because when there is rati attachment, if you are attached to something, then you think about that. No? It's natural. Rati means dhyana. Attachment means meditation. And this is called the topmost path. And we should never offend the Vaishnava. Please never offend any Vaishnava in your life. Otherwise everything will be finished. This is the thing we have to be very careful in our life. Never offend any Vaishnava. Sixth type of offenses, you know? The sixth type of aparad toward the Vaishnava. The first one is to kill a Vaishnava. That one, most probably you will not do. Second one is to kill or to beat a Vaishnava. The second one is to criticize a Vaishnava. That one is more easily done, to criticize a Vaishnava. The third one is to become angry at the Vaishnava, even internally, without saying nothing. To feel anger toward Vaishnava is also an offense. Fourth one is to become envious of a Vaishnava. Envious means we don't like him very much. Envy is like hate, you know. We don't appreciate him. We don't like his success. We're jealous of his success. This is envy. The fifth one is not to offer our obeisances to a Vaishnava when we see him. And the sixth one is not to be happy when we see a Vaishnava. And very subtle. If we don't feel happiness, this is also considered often. Whoa. My God. But what can I do? This is not me. Please forgive me. Krishna loves very much his devotees. This is because of love. Everything is because of love. Krishna wants us to love, which is the real object of his own heart. Then we can understand, we can share same heart with him. We can be very close to him. And one little story I wanted to say about Sanatana Goswami. There was a Brahmana in Benares, once again. He was a very great worshipper of Lord Shiva. He had so much faith in Lord Shiva. So he was worshipping Lord Shiva every day with love and devotion. And so much so that one day Lord Shiva appeared to him. And he told him, I'm so pleased by your worship. How is it possible that you're worshiping me with so much dedication every day? Please ask me one blessing. And he said, actually I have a daughter, I want to marry her. But I'm very poor. You know, Vedic systems means the father has to give.
Dowry.
Dowry. This is actually the way that the father giving his part of inheritance. Because normally, according to Vedic society, all inheritance going to the sons. So daughter has nothing. So the father gives the part to the daughter in the form of dowry. This is not a bad thing. This is actually a good thing in order to balance. He gives the part. So anyway, he was so poor he had nothing to give. So he could not marry his daughter. He was very saddened because of this. So he said, please, make something that I can marry my daughter. Lord Shiva told him, oh, you go to Vrindavan, and then you ask for someone whose name is Sanatana Goswami. He's a very rich person. He can help you. The Brahmana became so happy. Wow! Lord Shiva fulfilled my desire. At once he went to Vrindavan. This is easy, you just have to follow the Ganga upward, upstream. Because then after when you reach Allahabad, the Ganga will divide into Ganga on the right and Yamuna on the left. You take the left and you reach Vrindavan. This is quite a long walk. No? UP, this is still Uttar Pradesh, Benares to Vrindavan, but quite long, might take some few weeks. Eh? Yeah. And when you arrive in Vrindavan, that time was only jungle. There was no town in Vrindavan. It was jungle with villages, and you ask to the inhabitants, I am searching for someone by the name of Sanatana Goswami. You know what is Sanatana Goswami? Yes, we know him. Everybody knows him. Mm-hmm. Oh, can you tell me where he is? Or that, nobody knows. He's wandering. He's wandering in the forest. He's never staying at the same place. So how can I find him? Oh, well, there is only one way. You also enter the forest and you search for him. There is no other way. So, but he was really... He had faith in Lord Shiva's instructions, so he went, starting for searching Sanatana Goswami. Then, while he was on the bank of the Yamuna, he saw someone at a distance under a tree. And he saw a person, very special person, very effulgent personality. When he approached, he was amazed by the beauty of that person. His body was like gold, golden body. He was eyes closed like this, completely peaceful, very big, wide eyes, you know. This is the symptoms of Mahapurusha. They have big eyes. Not a Kali Yuga people, they have very small eyes. But normal, measurement. It's not measurement, but mensuration. It is also an English word. No?
Dimension.
Measurements, you know, of the body, there is some special measurement. So the great personality, you can see there. They manifest this measurement into their bodies. So they have big eyes, big lotus eyes. From shape of lotus, they will go bigger eyes than normal people. They have long arms, lotus hands, lotus feet. So he saw that person who was so beautiful. He never saw somebody like that. He offered his obeisances, and Sadhana Goswami opened his eyes. And he saw the Brahmana in front of him. He said, "Oh, Brahmana, what are you doing? What can I do for you, please? Tell me what can I do for you." He said, he explained his dream to Sadhana Goswami. And Sadhana Goswami became confused. He said, "I don't understand why Lord Shiva sent you to me. You know, I'm a very poor person." Sadhana Goswami was living with just
loin
clothes or gamsa around his waist, nothing else. He said, "You see, what do you want me to give you? I have only this gamsa and this water pot. I don't have nothing else. I don't have even food. I have to beg my food every here and then when I need something to eat. I'm living under this street. I don't understand why Lord Shiva told you that. I'm sorry, I think there was a mistake in the..." At the same time, he's Lord Shiva, normally he would not say something wrong. So he was confused, he was really concerned. He wanted to help that Brahmana, but he said, "You know, Dowry, really, I cannot help you." So, what to do? The Brahmana became really disappointed. He said, really upset. But what could he do? He went away. He just upset, went back to Varanasi. And when he was going away, Sadhana Goswami was thinking, at a point he said, "Oh no, yeah, I remember." Then he called the Brahmana back. He said, "Hey Brahmana, come, I remember something. Now I understand why Lord Shiva told me that. You know, last month I found a touchstone." He said, "Touchstone? Yeah, I found a touchstone. But the only problem is I don't remember why I put it. I don't remember exactly." He said, "You don't remember? Are you sure?" He said, If you find it, I give it to you. But I just threw it on the bank of the river in the sand. It was near that place there, over there. You can go and search for it. If you find it, it is yours." So the Brahmana went there running and he started, you know, very meticulously to search in the sand everywhere. And at some point, he found the stone. He found the stone, wow. And he tried it. He touched to something, that thing became God. Then he became very happy. So now I am the richest man in the entire world. I can have as much gold as I want. He was so overjoyed that he came back to Sadhana Goswami, offered his obeisance and said, "Thank you very much. Now I can marry my daughter." And he just went, so happy, nearly dancing on the way back to Varanasi. Then after some hours walking like that, he was thinking, why Sadhana Goswami threw that stone in the sand, like, you know, garbage, something useless. Why he didn't care about that stone? He must have something more precious. Otherwise he would never do this. Nobody would do this in this world. So if he has something more precious, that means I got something lesser. I lost something. So he decided to go back in order to make inquiry, you know. Maybe there is something greater to obtain. So he went back, and again, Satan Goswami was again chanting. I mean, he was not chanting, he was just in meditation like this. And he offered his obeisances, and Satan Goswami realized, and he opened his eyes up. Again, you? What are you doing? Something more you want? He said, no, I have been thinking that you must have a great, you must have a very great treasure. Satan Goswami said, oh? What makes you think that? Mm-hmm. See, because otherwise, why would you send this touchstone in the same night? I am thinking you have a greater treasure. Satan Goswami said, oh? You are intelligent person. Then he said, could you give me also that treasure? Satan Goswami told him, well, I can, but one condition. First you have to throw that touchstone in the water.
No.
Oh, so he looked the touchstone. Then he looked Sanatana Goswami. And again he looked the touchstone. His heart was, you know. But Sanatana Goswami has very beautiful eyes. He looked at the Brahmana with full love, you know. And his heart was swallowed by Satan Goswami's compassion. And he went to the bank of the diamond and took the stone and threw it in the water. All his wealth disappeared. Then he came back and offered his obeisances to Satan Goswami. Satan Goswami told him, Come. So he came closer to Satan Goswami. Satan Goswami told him, closer. So he came, and then Satan Goswami leaned toward him, toward his head, and he said, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I am giving you the greatest jewels which exist. I don't have jewel, I don't have treasure in this world, but I am giving you the greatest transcendental gems. These names are not different from Radha and Krishna. And the more you chant them, the more they will appear in your heart. And the Brahmana stayed with Satan Goswami. He never went back. He became a pure devotee. So this is the mercy of Satan Goswami. He's giving us that treasure of the Holy Name. So he has taught us that the holy names of Krishna are of Radha and Krishna actually, because he said these are two jewels. Holy name Mahamantra is not only one person, he is two person. We are not even calling Krishna, we are chanting the holy name. We are calling Radha and saying, hey, Hare. No? Prabhupada said, we are calling Radha. Hare Krishna. So why we are saying Krishna? Because Radha is singing the name of Krishna. Oh, Hare. Hare Krishna. We are calling Radha who is chanting the name of Krishna. Many ways of seeing the Mahamantra. Very beautiful. But Satan Goswami told us that the holy name is divine gem. And that, how much we treasure that gem, that much that gem will reveal himself or herself in, to us. So we have to treasure it. If we don't treasure it, then it will, he or she will not reveal himself or herself to us. It depends on how much we treasure it. No? You believe me? When we change, how much faith we have in that, the fact that the name is not different from the person, and that this is Chintamani, divine gem, because this name is really Krishna himself. So we have to treasure it, keep it in our heart always, constantly. Ketaniya sada hariye. This is our mantra. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would say we are initiated into the mantra Ketaniya sada hariye. So we have to carry this beautiful name in our heart 24 hours a day, even while sleeping, even while eating, even everything. Because this is very beautiful name, very beautiful reality. So we pray on this beautiful day of Guru Purnima, Sanatana Goswami, that by his mercy we can realize the nature of the holy name of Radharani and the holy name of Krishna, and always also carry him in our heart. If we can carry Sanatana Goswami and all our Acharya and Srila Prabhupada, then our life will be perfect. Thank you very much. There is no time for questions. There is Guru Puja. No. I'm sorry, I can answer you anytime you want. Mm-hmm. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.